The goal of our Christian life is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. So really what the Lord gave me here today was part of it. This message is called The Old Testament Prophets, The Spirit of Christ, The Testimony of Jesus. So I want to show you all the way back into the Old Testament, all the way through the scriptures, some things. And these verses will really be self-explanatory to explain to you Christ all the way through the Bible. Then I'm going to preach another message to you, Lord willing, in the future. And we're going to deal with Christ worshiped in the types and shadows of the Old Testament. And I'm going to show you how they worship Christ through, all the way through. But this one is going to be about the testimony of prophecy. Okay, the testimony of prophecy is the Spirit of Christ, is the Spirit of Jesus, okay? So you'll understand that better as we go, and you're going to see some things that hopefully will get you to study yourself, and you'll find others. Now, this is by no means all of them, because you don't have time for that today, for me to give you all of those, and it takes a lifetime to really mine through all that and be able to do that. So, but what I want to give you is a great number of them to pique your interest in studying them, and then you can go back and see these things yourselves, and you can take notes and write them down and learn more of Christ. The more you learn of Christ, the less you'll think about yourself. The more you'll see the light of yourself, what you are in the light of Christ and who you are, saved by grace, if you have been born again by the Spirit of God, then what you will do is you will see who Christ is more and more. And that's the goal, is for you to remember the first works, to remember not to leave your first love, and to always daily to be returning to Christ and returning to his person and who he is and learning of him. Okay, and by it'll strengthen you by being in the Old Testament to see all of that was prophesied. All of who Christ is was prophesied in the Old Testament. And you do not have less of Christ in the Old Testament than you do in the New. You do not. The only thing that you, if you see things like that, it is because your thoughts are shaded. And they have to be brought out, and maturity will bring that out. Spiritual maturity will bring that out as you study the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will reveal unto you who Christ is in the Old Testament and where he is and how to trace him and find him in the Old Testament, because he is there. And that's why Israel was blinded, because they would not receive the witness. But that was foretold about too. All of that was foretold about hundreds of years before it came to pass. So we're going to get right into it. Let's pray, then we'll get into it. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. We need it so badly. We pray that you bless us now. Help us as we focus on Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 19, please. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 10. This is a very telling verse. Okay. Very telling verse here. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Now, there's speculation as to who this is. I think after I studied a little bit, I kind of thought it was Daniel. But I don't know for sure. But anyway, that's for another day. But because John and Daniel are two similar prophets. They're very similar. And they both saw the same thing, and they record the same thing from an Old Testament perspective and after the ascension of Christ. But it's all in eternity, because he was taken up in to see all of it from eternity's point of view. So anyway, that's kind of interesting. But he said, I'm a prophet. No, don't bow down to me. I'm my fellow servant of thy brethren. I have the testimony. He said, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus... Look, now I want you to pay attention to this. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's what it's all about. All of that in the Old Testament, what is it about? Christ. All of it in the New Testament, what is it about? Christ. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation, pay attention here, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what? So they were searching, right? What or what manner of time? Look at this now. I want you to pay attention to this. The Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. So the Spirit of Christ was in those prophets, which we're going to break that down and show you today. When it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So that's another witness to Peter saying, look, the Spirit of Christ was in those prophets and they signified Christ. They had a sign. They signified who he was and when he was coming. Say, oh, those Jews didn't, those prophets, they didn't know exactly, oh, they knew a lot more than you think they did. However, what they did not know, they still wrote about under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and they wrote about it for a reason. They wrote about it for you. That's what he said. It was written for you, not for them, but for you. Now, John chapter 5, verse number 39. This is another witness. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the people of Israel there, and he's standing up before them. And he says one thing to them. He says, search the scriptures. Okay, let's stop there for a second. He says, search the scriptures. What scriptures? The Old Testament. Why? There wasn't a new one yet. He's telling them, you Jews, Old Testament Jews, you search the scriptures. For what? He's going to tell them for what? For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. He's telling that if you read the Old Testament, if you read the scriptures, what you have here, they testify of me. That's the third witness you have in the New Testament directly of what Christ is talking about. The spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So there's two thoughts today that you're going to take away with this as we go. The spirit of the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. That's the entire spirit of prophecy. The purpose of bringing prophecy out is to testify of Christ. That's the purpose. All right. The second thing that you're going to take with you is that the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets signifying. There was a sign. They were signifying of the future of Christ coming. All right. And they had the Spirit of Christ in them. And you could tell that by what they said. By their words. By what they prophesied about. Okay. So first, we talk about, number one, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we look in our Bibles here at Revelation 19, and he talks about that. We just read those verses. We see here that that all prophecy has a spirit behind it. It's to testify of Jesus. It's the record. All prophecies eventually point to Christ. But from the first prophecy, it is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, it has been called the proto-evangelium, okay? That's what it's called because it's a future prophecy of Christ coming. But it's the first prophecy that was in Scripture, Genesis 3, 15. And you'll notice what it is. God is talking to Satan here, and he is telling him what he is going to do. He's saying, because thou hast done this, I'm going to do this. And he's testifying of Jesus coming. Watch this, Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity. What is that? It's an enemy. There's going to be a great divide there. There's going to be a division there, right? There's an enemy there. Between thee and the woman. So he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now stop there. In the Bible, this is the only reference that the Bible speaks of a woman having a seed. Why is that? Because the man has the seed. We know that the seed is the DNA. We understand that. And it's carried through by the father. That's how it is. But what he's prophesying about is the woman's seed. And that is Christ. Christ. He was the seed of the woman. Why? Because who is his father? God. that he would, because eternity was lost through the woman, it would be regained through her seed. Do you understand that? It would be regained. He said, no, this is going to happen. The woman's seed is going to be where redemption comes from, because it will be God that provides it. And that's what happened. Okay, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Right? So Satan's head would be bruised, and the heel of Christ. Right? When you step on a snake. Right, when you step on a snake, it might bruise your heel, but it'll crush his head. Right? So, we find that this is the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. The whole book is about Christ, all 66 of them. The Spirit of God bears witness of Christ that he would come and redeem mankind. So then turn to Luke chapter 1, and we'll see the New Testament fulfillment of this. Luke chapter 1, verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Here's the seed of the woman. Here's how it happened. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This was the fulfillment of the prophecy. The angel came to the woman, told her that the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thy womb. Just like the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. The same way. It said, let there be light. When Jesus came into the world, Jesus is the light of the world. Right? I can't get into that. You can go, I can go all over the place with that, but we'll save that for types and shadows, which will take 10 years to preach through anywhere in my whole life. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out of the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Now listen, this is saying the same thing that I just shared with you. He's talking about the Spirit. He's talking about the Spirit of prophecy. Here's he's talking, and this is the incarnation. That's what he's talking about here. If they deny the incarnation, if they deny the literal incarnation of Christ, they're not of God, right? Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where have ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Okay, so what is he saying here? He's saying that the prophecy should point to Christ. It should point to Christ coming. It should point to his coming. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be prophecies about the Antichrist, about other things, but it all factors in on who Christ is. All of it is settled around the person of Christ. Whether it's attacking his deity or whether it's the counterfeit Christ that will come. Like if you type in Christ into the Bible, the 33rd time you see that, it's talking about false Christ. And that number 33, you understand that word. So anyway, which is the Antichrist is the false Christ. Number 33, that's what it is. Okay? So anyway, I'm going somewhere with this. Just follow me here, okay? But all that prophecy points, if they deny that, so when people say they have when you hear these charismatics say the Holy Spirit told them something, but it's clearly against God's word and it doesn't agree with it, because they're speaking a false testimony against the testimony of Christ. They're exalting their thoughts and their word of knowledge above the Bible. Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. So if you have somebody that speaks against this word knowingly, then there's no light in them. That's why. After they've been showed that what they're saying is wrong and they reject the word of the Lord, clearly, I'm not talking about differences on timing of rapture and things like that. And I'm speaking against the testimony of Christ. It's because there's no light in them. If you have a prophecy that you speak and it's contrary to Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, you should listen to it. Because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Christ. Matthew 17:5. The Bible says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. See, God has showed us that now we are that God speaks by his Son. Guess who is present there? Moses and Elijah. And God spoke when Christ was on that mount, and he said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. See that? And that goes along with Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So we test the spirit of prophecy by the word of God, by the testimony of Christ. So all prophecy that someone gives you, it ought to be tested by that. Their interpretation and everything ought to be tested by that. Look, I'm not looking for prophecy outside of God's word. I'm not looking for those signs and wonders of things outside of God's word to try to validate something. I don't have to. And here's why. Because 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19 says, for we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Here's the thing I want you to do today. You that have been here for a long time, I want you to use your brains. I want you to actually, as we're going through these scriptures, I want you to be thinking and exercising your mind. You that have been here for a long time, you need to listen closely and you need to learn and pay attention to what you're learning here so you can soak it up. So you think through these verses. You just don't listen to them being read and just kind of space out, but you listen and you learn and you try to receive what critically, by the mindset that God has allowed you to have, how this is evident in our lives, how this is evident, this truth is evident right before us. You have to learn to exercise your mind, not put it on autopilot. It means you've got to actually be listening to what's being preached to you. Amen. That's good. That's profitable. It's healthy. Right? You don't just believe what somebody says. You look into it. You think about it. That's what we all should do. Right? That's what God wants us to do. All right? So when we see the first prophecy that went out, we see the same thing. We see that it was about Christ. Now then, we look at the spirit that was in the prophets, their prophecies. We're going to talk about those, that it was the testimony of Christ. You look in Genesis chapter 9, that God set the bow in the cloud. It was a picture none other than of Christ. When we see the rainbow, we see Christ. If you do a study of the rainbow in the Bible, if you do a study of clouds in the Bible, what do you do a study of the bow in the cloud, what does it show you? Christ. When Christ comes, what does he come? Behold, he cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see him. Every time over the tabernacle, what came? The cloud and the pillar, the fire in the cloud, the fire in the cloud, the fire in the cloud. Those are signs of God. Those are signs of Christ coming. That's what they are. Genesis 9:12, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. That was God's promise. He said, I will no longer destroy the world with a flood. I won't do that again. And you'll know that. Here's my promise. Here's a token of my promise. You'll see it. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. You know, that's a covenant that has not changed. That covenant is still today. He's not going to destroy the world by water. He is going to destroy it by fire. The Bible says in Peter that the elements will melt with fervent heat. Because fire is a purifier. That's the judgment of God. That's what he's going to do to the lost. And it's what he's, and then he's, that fire is going to burn everything up. And he's going to, behold, I make all things new. Right? Anyway, we'll talk about, by the way, that number 9, if you look at Genesis chapter 9, that's fruit. That number 9 stands for fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is how many? 9. What does chapter 9 say? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Everything about chapter 9 and that number 9 deals with fruit, bearing fruit, being fruitful. Everything in the Bible means something. Right? God wrote it on purpose. He had it written on purpose. It's not an accident. He wrote it to you because he loves you. And he gave you a record, a very thorough one, that he says, spend your whole life searching it, and you will not find out all of its riches, but you will be richly blessed by doing it. So if you thought more on his word and less on you, you would be richly blessed. That's what we have to do. We have to think less on us and more on God. Right? Amen. Right? It's okay to think about your failings sometimes. It's okay to think about the flaws in your life, but it's not okay to focus on them. What you're to focus on is Christ and God's promises, because when you focus on his promises, that's where your hope lies. That's where your growth comes from. There's no growth in focusing on all your failures. There's only growth on moving forward and being fruitful. That's what Christ wants us to do. We repent of our sins, we get those things right, and we work on them, and we move forward. We don't sit and dwell on them because they won't do us any good. We dwell on Christ, who will do us all good. And that's the purpose of this sermon, that you would dwell on Christ. All right, next, the prophets had the Spirit of Christ in them. Let's start with the first prophet that we see. Go to the book of Jude. Go to the book of Jude. I want you to think about this. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Jude verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with thousands of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So what is this? What did we say? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does Enoch say? His first prophecy. He's the first prophet that we find in the Bible. Behold, he cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That hasn't happened yet, friend. He was prophesying all the way back then. He's saying, hey, he's coming again. What was he prophesying to them about? Christ coming. Behold, he cometh, and every eye shall see him. And they shall look on him whom they have pierced. That's Christ coming with all of his saints. Right? That's the prophecy. And it was all the way back then. Why? Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. They had the spirit in them. That's why. They had the spirit of Christ in them. Right? John 8:56. Jesus talked about another prophet, Abraham. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Well, how did he see his day? Well, we have a hint in Hebrews chapter 11. It gives us a hint of how he did, how he saw his day. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. But why? By the Spirit of Christ that was in them. They were persuaded of them. Like you and I are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we've committed on him against that day. We are persuaded. Right? Look at this. It says, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. How do you know they embraced him? They followed them. Just like you. You embrace them. You embrace the truth of scriptures. Oh, I don't always feel like that. Look, your feelings don't have anything to do with it. It's the fact that you're embracing the truth. It doesn't have to do with how you feel about it. It's wonderful when those things, when you do feel good. I like that. But there'll come a time in your life where you don't feel good. There'll come a time in your life when you wake up and you don't feel nothing but bad. And that's just the way you feel. Is it reality? No. But it feels that way. But God's still the same. He's still on the throne. Christ is still there. God's word is still true in the dark as it was in the light. Amen? It's still true. God's still good. God's still faithful. He still loves you. He hasn't changed his love for you, although your feelings have went up and down in a roller coaster and you don't know where they are. Don't worry about those. Just stay on your God. That's all you have to do. He'll take care of the rest. Don't worry about that. You leave it to him. Look what he says here. And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Genesis 12:3. This is how Abraham saw Jesus' day. Abraham was given a promise in Genesis 12. Verse number 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, how is that fulfilled? In Christ. He knew that a seed would come from him, and all the earth would be blessed, all nations of the earth. Now, where is this gospel? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? To every nation. So how was that fulfilled? In Christ. Through being Abraham's son, right? Through the promised seed, this book has been preached to all nations. And it was fulfilled in the New Testament when Jew and Gentile alike could be in one body. And all be saved by the grace of God in one body. Amen. Genesis 18:18. God showed Abraham some things. He said, shall I hide this from Abraham, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? Today, you trace this back to the book of Genesis. You trace this back to the promise. You and I trace it back to the promised seed of every nation being blessed. To faithful Abraham. That's how we know Christ came through faithful Abraham. That's how we know. And that's how the promise was fulfilled. Through that. It was fulfilled through that. Why? Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God, listen, was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Received who? Christ. In a figure. God shall provide himself a lamb. God did provide the sacrifice. His son. And this was a figure of that. It's a spirit of prophecy, is a testimony of Jesus. Right? Jacob prophesied of Shiloh. What is Shiloh? Who is Shiloh? Christ. Genesis chapter 49. Turn there. Genesis chapter 49. Jacob was a prophet. He prophesied. Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Who is Shiloh? The sent one. The Messiah, that's what that means. It means the sent one, the Messiah, till Shiloh come. Right? He's the sent one. He's the Messiah. How about David? Turn to Psalm 22. David, the spirit of Christ being in them, the Bible says. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ in them. I'm telling you, if you don't see Jesus enough in the Old Testament, you're not looking. You're just reading so fast through it and you're not trying to. It's all about him. Amen. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Where does that come from? The cross. Jesus said it on the cross. Hundreds of years later. Right? Why? Why was David saying that? The Spirit of Christ in him. Testifying. Testifying of him. That's what he was doing. How about Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Who is the shepherd? Jesus. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These are the promises of God. This is Christ. It is fulfilled in Christ. He is that who? Chief shepherd. By the way, anytime you see Jesus coming in the form of something or testifying of Jesus in something, he is always the chief of it. If he comes as the angel, he is the angel of the Lord. If he comes as a shepherd, he is what? He is the great shepherd or the chief shepherd, right? The captain of our salvation, right? If he comes anytime, he is always preeminent, always Lord of lords, King of kings. He is always preeminent, no matter how. No matter how he is represented, if he comes in any of those ways, he is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God, not a Son of God, the Son of God. He in all things that he might have the preeminence, no matter how he comes, how he is given to man, how he is shown, he is always chief. The way, the truth, the life. Always. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of the Highest. Capital. Right? Lord. Right? He is the chief ruler of the house of Israel. Right? Right. Always the preeminence. Every time he is given. Every time he is shown to man. He is always the chief in whatever form he comes in. In the Christophanies, before his appearance in the New Testament, before his incarnation, he is always the chief of whatever he shows. That's why he is the angel of the Lord. Right? He is the man of sorrows. Worthy is the Lamb. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Not a Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Capital L. That he is always chief. That he would always have the preeminence. Always. That's not an accident. It's done on purpose. David was a type of the prophet, priest, and king. He was a type of Christ. Who is the shepherd that he speaks of? Wasn't David a prophet? He was. Did not David eat of the holy shewbread that was in the temple? That was there in the synagogue? He ate of it, didn't he? That was with the priest? No mere man was supposed to eat of that. But God allowed him to. Matthew 22:41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." See that? Not a son of David. The son of David. He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? Good question. Why? Because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Christ. And the spirit of Christ was in him. Signifying. signifying of Christ. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. You've heard that, haven't you? Psalm 31:5. Have you heard this before? Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. What did Jesus say in Luke 23:46? And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. In Christ's death, the word of God was on his lips. And all of it was said for their benefit. He said, weep not for me, ye daughters of Israel. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. Don't weep for me. Even then, his care for them, his care for sinners was there. Right? But please his Father, that's right. Isaiah, turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. You know this one, right? Isaiah chapter 53. Right? Could anyone say, I don't know how anybody could be an atheist. I don't know how anybody could not believe the gospel after reading Isaiah 53 and understanding the history. Understanding when that was written and how no mere man could perform that prophecy, could live that prophecy out completely. I mean, you couldn't do that. Mathematically, it's impossible for you to be able to do that. It's not possible for you to be able to do that. But he was this man. And here is the spirit of prophecy. Right? What does he say here? He talks about Christ. He talks about who he is, right? Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Who is Christ? He was a tender plant. He was a child. He grew up as a child. He made himself a man. He grew up as a child. He was incarnated as a baby. And as the root of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He didn't look anything special, anything out of the ordinary. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So for anybody that's ever been through anything in their life that's had grief or sorrow or anything else, that's why you can find solace in Christ. That's why, for me, when I've been through anxiety and depression and all those things, I could never get down to the depths of despair of no hope, because Christ in me, the hope of glory, is still there. That one day this tabernacle will fall to the ground and my soul will rise to go to God. It will go to the Lord that created it. And I'll no longer have any of those flaws, any of those failures. But I can't stop hoping because of that. That the testimony of Christ in me, I cannot forget that. No matter what my mind tries to do, no matter what anxiety, no matter what bias it has, no matter what it forgets, it cannot forget this one thing, that Christ saved my soul all those years ago, and he changed my life, and he made me a new creature, and I can never forget that. He will not let me forget that. It's the testimony of Christ, is the spirit of prophecy. So no matter how dark it gets, no matter how dreary it gets, it doesn't get that dark, because the light of Christ still shines. And though I cannot feel it in the dark, and I'm telling you, I haven't felt that in a long time. And you know what I mean if you understand that. I haven't felt that in a long time in my life. I haven't felt a lot of anything in a long time, to be honest with you. But I know this, that God said he's the same in the dark as he is in the light. And he said, let him stay upon his God. Just stay and just wait. Amen? That's the promise of God. Luke chapter 23. Actually, I'm sorry. I got you. I was looking at that wrong. I jumped ahead of my text here. But what it says here about Christ, it says here that he had borne our griefs, acquainted with our sorrow, right? And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Everybody ran from him. I'm not going to preach this whole text, because it would take me the whole time. And I've preached it on the street before many times. And in here, I believe. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Who's this speaking of? Christ. Why? Because Isaiah had the spirit of Christ in him as a testimony of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of Christ. Right? It's the testimony of Christ. It's the spirit of prophecy. It's what it is. That's what they prophesied. That's who they prophesied about. The Spirit of Christ brings in the attributes of Christ as well. That's the next thing I want you to notice. We could go on and on with a lot of these, but we won't have time to do that. But the very attributes of these prophets, I want you to look at the... Now I want you to focus on the fact that the Spirit of Christ was in them signifying. And then you're going to see some similarities between these people. All right? And Christ. That they all pictured, albeit they were imperfect pictures of the one that would come. Because what were they? Types and shadows. But they all pointed to Jesus. They all pointed to future. All these prophets, their lives pointed to Christ. Pointed to him. 1 Peter 1:11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. Some people try to say that, well, they didn't have the Spirit in them. Well, yeah, they did. They had the Spirit of Christ in them. At least the prophets did. That's what he said. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? Because whatever spirit's in you, that's what you're going to testify of. Right? So we see when they have a false spirit in them that Jeremiah dealt with, he said they have lying divinations. And they speak lies to the people. Why? Because they have a lying spirit in them. Amen. And you shouldn't trust them. It's like everybody's trying to trust Benny Hinn and his repentance. It said he repented of the prosperity gospel, got on there and talked bad about the prosperity gospel. The next day he had some article or ad come in on one of his sermons or whatever. He says it was an accident. Okay, whatever. And then he does it again. And then it happens again on the sow your seed thing. He's never repented of all the healing things. Listen, when somebody's a lying prophet, you just don't believe them. You don't believe them. You just don't believe them. They have a spirit of divination in them. So what are they going to do? They have a lying spirit in them. What are they going to do? They're going to lie. So you don't trust them. You don't trust them. And if you really were sorry, then you know what? Start open the vaults. Get out the millions of dollars and start sending them back. Right? All those widows and all those people that sent you in cards with their addresses and you kept on your database, start sending their money back. That's what Zacchaeus did, fourfold. Start giving it back. You're a millionaire. Living wealthy. Right? Grave sucking. At Catherine Kuhlman's grave. See, that's why you have to be able to discern things. God gives the grace to do that. Okay, it says here, when it testified before unto the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, so not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things. Don't you understand? You need to fall in love with that Old Testament. Listen to me. You need to fall in love with that. These things were written for you. They were written for you. Don't just blindly go through that and skip through that as if, oh, this is just a bunch of stuff that I don't need anymore. Yes, you do need it. They were written for you. That not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. What does that mean? It means the angels are watching too. They're like, what's going on down there? Right? They're looking. So these had the Spirit of Christ in them. Let's look at Genesis chapter 50. How about the life of Joseph? I cannot get into this now. A.W. Pink, 100 points of how Joseph is a type of Christ. And all of them are pretty spot on. It's in his book, Gleanings in Genesis. I recommend it. One of the best books I ever read. Read it when I was first saved. I think I read it twice. I think I read it a few years back again. But I can't remember. So I don't want to say that for sure because I can't remember anything. But anyway, so but I do remember reading it. I remember that in there, and I thought I read it twice, but I don't know. So just A.W. Pink, Gleanings in Genesis. You won't be sorry. Right, Luke? You read it. You're reading it right now. It's a good book. I recommend it. Lots of good pictures in there, good things in there. All right? By the way, Genesis is a picture of the entire Bible. There's a lot in the book of Genesis. Every doctor of the Bible is in the book of Genesis, practically. Everyone. All of them, I believe, are in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. There's no new thing under the sun. Just things revealed later. Right? Genesis. Amen? Genesis chapter 50, verse number 24, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land, of the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." That's an interesting way to end the book of Genesis, by the way. The book of beginnings ends with a coffin in Egypt. Then Exodus, which is the exodus from the world. It's the mass exodus, right? To leave Egypt. When God visits them. Right? So God comes with a prophet and visits them and takes them out of Egypt. What happened to you when you got saved? Jesus came to you, saved your soul, visited your soul, and took you out of Egypt. Right? Was it Sears that said that it's all inside? Is that the or was that, is that one of those companies had that? Well, you know what? That's true. It's all inside right there. It's all there. You just have to take the time to look at it. It's there. Look at this more than you do anything else. Amen. Deuteronomy 18:15. Moses. Let's talk about Moses' life. By the way, Joseph. I mean, okay, I'll touch on it just real quick. Joseph's life, just a few things. Joseph, what was he? He was the, number one, he was the beloved of his father. Two, he was given a coat of many colors. Right? The coat was a picture of the rainbow, the promise of God. Right? Number three, his brethren hated him. Right? Exactly. His brethren hated him. Jesus, what happened to him? His brethren hated him. Right? Same thing. He was sent to prison. Jesus went to a prison into the earth for 3 days and three nights. Then he led he was a blessing to those that were waiting, right? The Bible says he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When Joseph went to prison, he was a blessing to all that were in the prison house. And then God brought him out of prison and made him what? Ruler over the whole world. Same thing as Christ. Brought up out of, gloriously resurrected out of, and he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming back again to rule the whole world. Same picture. Same thing. It's right there. You just got to look for it. It's there. Right? Joseph was sold in. Don't get me started, man. We can go all day long. Sold into the hands of the Gentiles. 20 pieces of silver. Inflation was 30 pieces of silver when Christ was. No, do that. It's inflation. You do it. It's there. Right? 30 pieces of silver. He was 20. Right? Which was prophesied. He was betrayed by his brother. He was sold into the hands of the Gentiles. Christ was. Right? What did his brethren say? We won't put him to death. What did the chief priest say? Well, we can't kill him, but you can. Same thing. I'm telling you, it goes on and on and on. And when Christ comes back again, he will come back for a remnant too of Israel, his brethren. And he'll say, come near to me, my brethren, just like Joseph did. And he said, look on me. And they will look on him who they appears, just like Joseph's brethren looked on him. I'm telling you, there's so much. You can't. There's so many. There's hundreds of them in Joseph's life. Hundreds of them. All there. All there. Yep. Yep, then he'll be resurrected out, right? He took him to the promised land and buried his bones in the promised land. That's right. Yep, that's another picture. So there's so many pictures there. You just have to look for them. They're all there, though. Yep. Both their garments dipped in blood, those two, right? And what? What you meant for evil, God meant for good. God's sovereignty was in sending Joseph to Egypt. God's sovereignty was in sending, and he used evil men to put their hands on Christ, the same way as he did Joseph. But he said, I was set for what? For life, to preserve your life. And Christ was the same. He was sent to preserve life. Oh, by the way, another one is he was the first begotten of the dead. That's kingship. That's him. The firstborn among many brethren, right? Which means what? He raised himself from the dead. Everybody else that was raised from the dead before him had to have hands laid on them to do that and somebody else do it. But he raised from the dead. He said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again, because he's the chief in death too, as he was in life. All right? So there's so many you could go through with that with Joseph. Joseph's life. I encourage you to look into it. Continue to look into it. There's so many points there. So many pictures. And that's just in one man's life. Now let's look at Moses. Deuteronomy 18:15. Moses foretold of something, the spirit of prophecy. What did he say? The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet, capital P, from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. The line of the tribe of Judah, the scepter. Who ruled? Judah. Where did... Think about this. I want you to think about this because it just hit me. So think about this. So Christ comes from the kingly line. He comes from Solomon. He comes from the line of David, the line of the tribe of Judah. He is the line of the tribe of Judah. There's another one for you. Okay, but think about this, okay? So he comes, right? They're waiting for a king. Judah, waiting for a king. And the lion of the tribe of Judah comes, and he is King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords. He fulfills the throne of his father, David. And he came back to pick up the scepter, but he didn't rule this time, just like David. Think about it. Here, think about it. David was anointed king by Samuel, but what happened? David didn't take the throne for years. David wandered. David had wars. David fought the beast and hit him in the head, and he killed him, right? And all those things happened. And then what happened? Then David came to take the throne. The second time, he came to take the throne. Right? From the beast. From the beast. Right? See how that works? It's all there. It's all picturing. It's the spirit. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's what it is. Very easy to see. Okay. Up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Like unto me. So Moses and Jesus, if you do the comparison between Moses and Jesus, very similar. How? Endangered at their birth. Oh, we don't have time to go through this. There's so many types. I'm going to do this in types and shadows too, but I'll give you quickly. Moses' birth. He was drawn out of the water. Moses was in danger. Pharaoh put out a rule and says, kill all the baby boys. Same thing Herod did. Kill all the baby boys. Moses survived. Jesus survived. Moses was taken care of, right, by someone that was not his father. Joseph was not Jesus' father, right? Moses was a prince, and Jesus is the Prince of Life and the king, the rightful king to the throne, right? Chose not to, yep. Tempted to rule the world. Moses tempted to take the throne, but he refused to take the throne. Christ was offered the kingdoms of the world by Satan and rejected it. I mean, on and on and on. There's so many. Yep. Right. In a manger. Same thing. So all of those pictures are there. There's a lot of types and shadows that we'll go through some of those later, some other day. We don't have time right now. Okay. According to all that thou, let's see. Verse 16. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. So they were afraid. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command them. Why? Because you can't, no man can see God and live. It's too fearful. So what did he do? He came in the form of flesh as a prophet. And he came and they could look on him. And they saw him. And he is the express image of the Father. The express image of God is what it says. Not the Father, but the express image of God. All right? The Bible says that. They couldn't approach him. Right, because the law condemns. And the fire that was there, the holiness. So he came, was born of a virgin, and he came unto his own. But just like Moses in his first coming was rejected, so was Christ in his first coming, rejected by his people. Lots of pictures, right? I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. And he said that, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So that in Acts 3:22, the Bible tells us, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Same spirit. And what does the Bible tell us? We talked about this earlier. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Right? When they're transfigured on the mountain, in Matthew 17:1, we talk about that. They're up on the mountain. Jesus is being transfigured. Who shows up? Moses and Elijah shows up. The law and the prophets. Moses and Elijah show up. What do they show up for? To bear witness to Christ. And what do? They shut their mouth and don't say anything. And who speaks? And what happens? Look what it says here. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to my Son. Right? And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, look, they saw no man save Jesus only. And that's what God wanted them to see. That's who he wanted them to see. And it's who he wanted them to hear. Right? So that's Moses. And there's more that can be said about Moses, but we don't have time. You couldn't possibly get through all those. Jeremiah chapter 33. How about Jeremiah? He is called the weeping prophet. He is truly a man of sorrows, right? Jeremiah 33:15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. Who's the branch of righteousness? Right. And why is he called the branch, capital B, the branch of righteousness? If he's a tree, he's the branch. He's the biggest branch on the tree. Right? That's who he is. Right? I am the vine, ye are the branches. Right? In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. That's Christ coming. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. That's Christ, the King of righteousness and the King of peace. He was the weeping prophet. He was the man of sorrows. Jesus is called the man of sorrows. Remember Isaiah 53? Lamentations chapter 3 says this, verse number 1. This is Jeremiah speaking. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned, and he turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. Does sound like Job. It sounds like a very afflicted man that's going through much sorrow and much affliction, much depression, anxiety, and discouragement. which happens. Ezekiel, how about them? Let's go to him. Ezekiel the prophet. What did God call him? Son of man. Right? Ezekiel 2:1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. Where was Jesus sent to? I come but not for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Ezekiel had the Spirit of Christ in him. Same mission, same title, Son of Man. Not an accident. And he said unto me, Son of Man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Jesus was sent there to the same people, not of a strange tongue, but of his own. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But they would not hear it. Right? Luke 9:51 talks about that. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face as a flint. The Son of Man set his face as a flint. Ezekiel, he said the same thing. He said, set your face as a flint. And Jesus said, he said, steadfastly set his face. It's the same thing. He's saying he had a hard forehead, and he set his face to go to Jerusalem to die. Right? He is the Son of Man. Ezekiel, the same attributes. Daniel chapter 5. Let's talk about Daniel. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Well, what was the excellent spirit that Daniel had in him? Christ. It was Christ's spirit. That's what he had. That's who he had in him. He had Christ in him. That's why it was an excellent spirit. What did the Bible say? That Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, right? That's what the Bible talks about, that he grew with that same excellent spirit. Same thing. Daniel 7:9. What did Daniel prophesy of? Christ. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame. Look at this. And his wheels as burning fire. You know what those fiery wheels are? They're cherubims. You know what they are? they're probably the same thing what people today would call UFOs when they see them. But all they are angels. All they are angels. But you have to study that to figure that out. Because we don't believe in aliens. We believe that there are devils out there that do things. Yep. Yeah, that's what it means, chariot. Yeah, that is what it means, yes. It's a chariot that carries somebody. And Ezekiel describes how they move gravity doesn't hold them. Right, because there's a living spirit inside of them. Right? Okay, he said, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Amen. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Who is that? Jesus. He comes with the clouds. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. What was he prophesying? Christ. Jonah's an interesting one. Jonah. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish, in verse 17, to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. That's important. Why? Because Matthew 12:39 says, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah says in chapter 2, verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Right? Think about that. Who cast Jonah into the sea? God did. Who gave his only begotten son? God did. Ultimately, it was God's will that Jonah be cast into the sea, no matter whose hands were on him to do it. Right? Yep. He preached in Nineveh, and it was no benefit to himself. You understand, those people killed his ancestors. They killed the Israelites. So Jonah had a great dilemma in his mind. Here's what it was. And that's why he got depression afterwards. But here's what it was, okay? Jonah knew that if he went and preached the gospel to those pagans, and he preached them to repent, that they were going to get saved, and they were going to come and kill his people. He knew it. He knew that they would be prospered, and Israel was going to be destroyed. And it was hard for him, and he didn't want to obey that. That's why he tried to go the other way. That those people murdered his ancestors. Right? So Jesus was sent to preach the gospel, but he went willingly, right? He was sent to preach to those that killed. He said, you killed the prophets from the blood of righteous Abel to Zechariah. Right? You slew the prophets of the Lord. Yep, that's what he said, right? So Jonah had a problem with that. He didn't want to go preach to those people. He didn't want to, but God sent him to do that. So there's many more. You could go on in Malachi. If you go to Malachi, you could see the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. That's Christ. He prophesied of Christ coming. He prophesied of John the Baptist coming and then Christ coming. He prophesied of all those things. Why? Because the Spirit of prophecy. Jesus Christ, the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy, and they had the spirit of Christ in them. That's just a small picture of it. You can find thousands more by looking through. Yep. That's right. So all of these, exactly. And he was sent to the veil away from his brethren. He was sent out into that veil, away from his Father, and Jesus left the Father in heaven to come to earth for his brethren, to see how his brother fare. Just like Joseph left and went to that veil. I mean, there's so many more. Yep. Yep. And that a prophet should not die outside of Jerusalem. They had to die there. And he did. That's why he died there. Right. What's that? Yeah, like they stoned Stephen, right? And he said the same thing, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. You know, they don't know what they're doing. So anyway, you have that testimony. Next, we'll get into types and shadows and some other things like that. We'll go through some of those, and you'll see those. But all of it points to Christ. Now take this, and you go home. When you go home, and you study, and you read, and you look for those same pictures and types and everything, right? Because we're going to talk about some of those. Jesus Christ said he was that manna that came down from heaven, right? That's one, right? He was the serpent on the cross, that if he'd be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him, right? That if they looked at it, they were healed, right? What does he say? Look and live. So the Bible says, many, 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 many more are there. But you gotta dig in, and you gotta try. And that's why I encourage you to write things out or type things out. That's why I use, well, I now use this, and I like it a lot, but it's for somebody who really wants to take notes and write and stuff. I mean, you gotta got to be a note taker because this thing's huge. But it's a note takers, and you can use the sides, and then there's extra notes for when you get really wordy with things. You can write things on the side and just put those in there between the pages on what you're dealing with. But even if you use a digital program, something on your Mac or a tablet or your phone or something, you should take notes. You should have something to reflect on about what you're reading. You really should. You have something. You shouldn't walk away and not have anything to think about. Right? It's important to take something, one devotional thought, at least one devotional thought a day, and take it with you as you go. Because it'll help strengthen you. It'll help strengthen your walk and build your faith. All right? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your words. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the testimony of Jesus being the spirit of prophecy. Thank you that we can see that. Thank you, Lord, that you opened my eyes to Christ all those years ago, and that he saved my soul and changed me and made me a new creature. And Lord, that I can see these things in the scriptures. I can see them, and you teach me those as we go. And Lord, you're not a respecter of persons. You'll teach all your children if they want to learn. Help us to have that desire to learn today, Lord, to grow. Desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.